Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornielsen, and once again, you are listening to STEM Spots. With me in the studio today is Dr. Gene Hu, who is a physicist from the Department of Physics at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Thanks for stopping by, Gene.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
Now, Gene, you're an experimental physicist, but talk about what kinds of things you do in a very broad sense.
Okay, so as you know, I'm doing experimental physics. So I grow single crystals of a wide range of materials, and I investigate their properties.
So you grow single crystals. Okay, very good. And you're an experimentalist, not a theoretician then. Now, you grow crystals, but there's a particular kind of crystal that you mentioned to me that was kind of interesting. You use the word topological, and usually we think of the word topological as being a mathematical expression. So tell us a little bit about topological crystals. What exactly is that?
Okay, so as we know, topological is some mathematical term, as you just mentioned. Now we try to borrow this concept in physics, in crystal, because when we consider electrons, they have some certain geometry in its own space. So we use topology to describe the electron topology in their own space. And if we consider that, we can have a new class of material called topological material. Actually, this concept, topological phase, it has won Nobel Prize just 2 years ago.
Which particular material won the Nobel Prize?
Well, it is this theory won Nobel Prize, but this theory will lead to many new materials.
Well, what kinds of atoms would those new materials be made out of? Any kind of atoms or specific kinds of atoms?
There are a lot of different types of topological materials, including topological insulator, topological semi-metal, and so on. So I can give you some specific example. For example, the topological semi-metal. One is called tantalum phosphoride. It consists of a tantalum atom and a phosphorus.
Tantalum and phosphorus. And so tantalum is a metal, yes?
That is
tantalum
right.
Is a metal. And what would phosphorus be considered by itself? Just some sort of insulating material?
Well, yes, it is insulating. But if you put two together, it would behave something like a metal. It's kind of an alloy. But it shows many interesting properties that with advanced functionality.
Now, this is something that probably wouldn't just be sitting around in nature, is that right? I mean, you wouldn't just reach down and find a piece of tantalum phosphide or whatever. Is that true?
Yeah, of course, you cannot find that natural existing material. In fact, we need to try to find some method to synthesize the single crystal of that material.
Okay, so what other kinds of things? So that would be a topological, did you say semiconductor or topological insulator?
For this specific material, tantalum phosphoride, it is a topological semi-metal.
Semi-metal, okay. How about a topological insulator? Is there an example of that?
So for a topological insulator, it is an insulator, but at the surface, it is a metal. So you can imagine an insulating bulk, but it's a conducting surface state. So
conducting surface, but it's insulating in the bulk. Now, that's interesting. Give me an example. What kind of an atom could do that?
Oh, for example, the bismuth selenide, if you combine bismuth atom and a selenium atom, you can have this kind of a material.
A bismuth and a selenium together, bismuth selenide, can be a conductor on its surface and an insulator in its bulk.
Yes. So, you know, usually if you try to do something, try to destroy this material, try to induce some impurities, the surface is not stable. But for this topological insulator, the surface is super robust. So that is why it is very useful for technology.
Interesting. So now let's talk about how you do this. We've got about a minute left. So in the laboratory, how do you do something like this?
So the method uses something called a flux method. So basically, we mix the study materials. For example, the bismuth selenide, and mix bismuth powder and the selenium powder together in an evacuated sealed tube. And I heat up this tube at high temperature, and I do Stirling cooling down. And then the single crystal will be formed during this Stirling cooling down process. So that is one method I can use.
That seems like a very simple thing. You basically take the powders, mix them together, put them in a crystal, and then there are certain properties of the way it's cooked so that you can get this crystal, right? You can't just do it in any way. You have to do it specifically. Is that right?
That is right. There are a lot of parameters. Yes, it sounds simple, but in your lab, you have a lot of parameters to adjust.
So it's a trickier thing than it might sound to the average person.
Yeah, it is a little bit tricky, so you need to get some experience.
Very good. You know, amazing enough, Gene, we are actually out of time. Thanks so much for stopping by to tell us about your research.
Thank you very much.
And once again, this is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.